Well, a warm welcome to today's talk. It's Tuesday, the 11th of April. Now, for some time I've been hearing anecdotal reports about multi-organ inflammatory syndromes following a COVID vaccination. But I haven't been able to report on it so far because I haven't seen it in the literature. Well, that's now changed. I've been looking out for this and it's now cropped up. As I say, different reports from different countries. We suspected this was happening. Here's the confirmation from Japan. A case of fatal multi-organ inflammation following COVID-19 vaccination. And last this was in a 14-year-old girl. And tonight's content is unpleasant, but I think necessary. First question, of course, is why is this published in a legal medical publication? In a sense, it's quite good because the publication is primarily designed for lawyers and all the medical terms are in hypertext. So this is one you don't understand, you can kind of click on it. It contains lots of accurate information, of course, from Japanese pathologists and doctors. But why isn't this published in a routine medical journal? You'd expect medical improvements in medical understanding to be published in medical journals, but they appear to be sitting on their hands at best. So this is published in Legal Medicine. Now, let's just have a look at a few slides here. Now, these dark areas are the inflammatory cells. All these dark spots are inflammatory cells that basically shouldn't be there. So this is in the heart, for example. This is in the lungs. And again, we see there's lots of these dark staining bits that simply shouldn't be there. This is in the liver. Again, we see clusters of these, mostly lymphocytes, but all these dark spots are simply not supposed to be there. This is all from this one girl, unfortunately. This is from the kidneys. Again, massive inflammation in the kidneys with these huge numbers of these dark staining cells that shouldn't be there. This is the diaphragm, the main breathing muscle. You can see these are the muscle fibers here. And here we see the lymphocytes that shouldn't be there. This is the stomach. Again, huge amounts of pathological lymphocytes present. This is in the duodenum. You can see these bits of villi here. Not villi, but the internal structure of the duodenum there. And again, we see completely infiltrated with these lymphocytes. This final one is the urinary bladder. Again, we see a lot of lymphocytes there. So this is basically all over the body that this is occurring. So quite nasty pathology, really. 14-year-old Japanese girl, healthy and active, member of a school athletics team, died unexpectedly 2 days after receiving the third dose of the Pfizer vaccine. Autopsy findings, congestion, edema, and in England, of course, we put a no on the front, edema of the lungs. So congestive edema of the lungs, this means that the lungs were basically, they had fluid in them, and also the blood was not getting through the lungs normally. The blood was not getting through the lungs normally, indicating a failure of the circulatory system. So this is perhaps lung congestion caused by heart disease, pulmonary heart disease, what we used to call cor pulmonale in the old days, indicative of acute heart disease in this tragic situation. T-cell lymphocytes and macrophage inflammation. So the T-cells are the ones, of course, associated with the viral response, but there was not a viral infection. And the macrophages are the large phagocytic cells. Present in the lungs, the pericardium, the myocardium, particularly the left atria and left ventricle, but there was some in the right as well. Atrial myopericarditis. You probably know this. The atria, of course, are the top chambers of the heart, and the ventricles are the bottom pumping chambers. So here we see the top chambers of the heart were affected, as well as the lower chambers of the heart. Inflammation in the liver, kidneys, stomach, duodenum, bladder, diaphragm, basically all around the body. There was no preceding infection. Infection was ruled out by various tests. Stay around if you want more detail. Allergy was ruled out, and drug toxicity exposure was also ruled out. The pathologists in Japan made the diagnosis, post-vaccination pneumonia, fluid in the alveoli of the lungs, myopericarditis, hepatitis, inflammation of the liver, nephritis, inflammation of the kidney, gastroenteritis, inflammation of the gastrointestinal tract, cystitis, inflammation of the urinary bladder, myositis, inflammation of the muscles. So this was absolutely everywhere in this poor 14-year-old girl. Massive inflammation everywhere. And as I say, I've heard of other cases, but this is the first one that's been documented, and I'm afraid we probably are going to see more in the literature. What sort of literature that is in depends on whether the medical journals get their act together and start accurately reporting what is going on in this world or not. I'm not too hopeful, because I think there may be levels of compromise there. But we'll be looking out for it in other reliable publications, such as this legal medical publication. Proximal cause of death, the immediate cause of death, atrial myopericarditis. So the myocardium of the atrium, the heart muscle, and the surrounding of the muscle of the atria probably caused fatal arrhythmias. In other words, there was an abnormal heart rhythm. So instead of the normal PQRST, like that, the normal atrial contraction, the ventricular contraction, and the repolarization of the ventricles, this became abnormal. There was an arrhythmia. Dysrhythmia would be a better term, an abnormal rhythm, but that's what happened, arrhythmia or dysrhythmia. That led to cardiac failure and death. Now, it looks like she probably didn't go into cardiac arrest. If it's the ventricles, you often go into cardiac arrest and die within minutes. But because there was time for the congestion to develop in this girl's lungs, it looked like her heart was working remarkably inefficiently for some hours. Perhaps overnight, as we'll see from the history. But this was probably the immediate cause of death. So even though there's inflammation in all these other organs, the immediate cause of death was probably cardiac. But there again, everyone who does die has a cardiac arrest. It's just a case of whether it occurs earlier in the dying process or later in the dying process. Let's look at a few more details. Post-vaccine myocarditis and pericarditis have been increasingly reported, and it does report on quite a bit of literature from around the world, pointing out that what they are seeing is consistent with other findings and reports from different countries around the world. Now, they do point out that very often this has been reported in male adolescents, the myocarditis, pericarditis. And very often they do quite well. But what this paper pointed out that I wasn't not aware as aware of is middle-aged and older patients are more likely to have severe myocarditis. So young men, myocarditis, pericarditis, more common, often less severe, although of course you don't want any at all. And the ones that go running and have cardiac arrests, of course, for them it is remarkably severe. Or if we've seen so many cases of cardiac arrest with exercise. But what they're saying here is middle-aged and older patients more likely to have severe myocarditis. So affecting all age ranges. Now, the day after the vaccination, she developed a fever, some breathing difficulties the day after the vaccination. The following morning, she was found by her mother, pale, not breathing. Very pale appearance. It looked like she was in some form of cardiopulmonary arrest at that time. When the paramedics arrived, she certainly was. So in cardiopulmonary arrest. In other words, She wasn't breathing. Her heart wasn't contracting. And she was not breathing when the paramedics arrived. Now, they did successfully resuscitate her, but she died 45 hours after the third vaccination. And this was in September 2022. Just a bit of history. After the first dose of the vaccine, 12th of September 2021 was the first dose of the vaccine. When did this actually, let me just check on the date this actually occurred. 10th of August 2022 was the time she died. But she'd had a first dose September 2021. Arm pain without fever, not surprising. Very common. Day after the second dose on the 3rd of October 2021, fever, but it was less than 38 degrees centigrade and didn't last for very long. It was after the third dose. And of course, we looked at data yesterday. CDC advising booster doses for young adults still. Getting back to this particular paper, autopsy findings, post-mortem, as we'd say in the United Kingdom. No superficial injuries. Well, obviously from the needles that people have been sticking into this poor girl, there was superficial injuries, but there was no injuries. She wasn't traumatised. No history of heart disease, no degeneration or scarring on the heart, a previously healthy athletic heart. Both lungs showed severe pulmonary edema and congestion, indicating the heart had been working very poorly for the past 12 to 24 hours, damaging the lungs. COVID antigen quantification test was negative. Not only that, it looked in the usual secretions and things, it was negative for coronavirus. But they tested numerous internal organs with antigen tests. And they were all negative. So they did antigen tests in basically all of her internal organs, all negative. This girl did not have COVID. This was not caused by COVID infection because she didn't have COVID infection. They completely eliminated that possibility. They tested a serum negative for adenovirus, cytomegalovirus, influenza A, influenza B, Epstein-Barr respiratory syncytial virus, Epstein-Barr virus, enterovirus, parvovirus, and human immunodeficiency virus. She did not have another viral infection. So she had no COVID, and they eliminated all of the common viruses. Histological findings, as we've seen, lymphatic cellular infiltrates, as we've seen there. These are the lymphatic cellular infiltrates. All these black bits where all these black dots that are stained up, where they simply shouldn't be there. These organs were just crammed with these cells indicating inflammation, the inflammatory cells. All over the place. Brain showed congestion, again, indicating an acute heart failure, really, because if the brain was congested with blood, the blood wasn't draining from the brain. That indicates that the blood wasn't being processed through the heart. She had an acute heart failure, in other words. Some infiltrates in the hippocampus in the brain. Hippocampus, one on either side, of course. Part of the limbic system. What does it do? One of the things that it does is it turns short-term memories into long-term memories. But the point is that there was some inflammation there with the white cells, the lymphocytes, in the brain as well. So this inflammatory process had affected the brain as well as all these other organs. Biochemical analysis, elevated SARS coronavirus 2 antibodies, so she'd made huge amounts of COVID antibodies. Very, very, very high, and elevated interleukin 6, a pro-inflammatory cytokine. Diagnosis made by the pathologists. Now, doctors, of course, examine their patients. They might do a few x-rays, a few biopsies. They make a diagnosis. And quite often they're right, quite often they're wrong, actually. But pathologists who are actually analysing the body can do very comprehensive tests, examine the organs intimately, and make a very, very accurate diagnosis, especially combined with the histology. So this diagnosis is as definitive a diagnosis as humanity can give. It's a pathological diagnosis made by a group of pathologists. Their diagnosis: vaccine-related multiple organ inflammation, vaccine-related myopericarditis, which led to severe arrhythmias and progressive heart failure. So no question about the diagnosis. And in the discussion, they say, however, adverse events caused by vaccines have been a problem, in understatement that would befit English pathologists, but from the Japanese pathologists. So, tragic case. Why aren't we hearing more about it? We really should be. This should be in the medical journals, not in a medical legal journal. And the conclusions gave guidelines for legal people representing these victims, advising on particular post-mortem tests that should be done. Much prefer to have information to inform nurses and doctors and pharmacists beforehand to prevent this in the first place. So very sad, tragic death of a 14-year-old girl, definitively diagnosed. I think that's all we'll say about that. I will just show you, we're working on a few new posters. The posters and the textbooks, as you probably know if you're a regular viewer, these are the textbooks I've written, physiology and pathophysiology. Download the whole things, PDFs, completely free. I'll put the link. And also on that link, we have we're putting together a series of posters. Here's the latest one. I think, I'm not sure if this one's up yet. If it's not up today, it'll be up tomorrow. Follow the money. Oh, it's a bit like these ones here, isn't it? Isn't it? Follow the evidence wherever it leads. This one says, follow the money wherever it flows. So you can download these. They're all in a higher resolution. That's the whole thing on one. They're actually quite nice photos. As you see, if you zoom in, they're all high resolution pictures taken by our resident photographer, Simon. If you'd like to print those out, put them up in whichever part of your house or your shed or whatever you think appropriate, you're welcome to them. They're completely free. Print them out for yourself or keep them on your computer, along with the textbooks, if you'd like some bedtime reading. I'm going to leave that there because I'm still, it's really quite death of young people is tragic. Death of anyone is tragic, but young athletic girl with a life ahead of her. We'll leave it there. Thank you for watching.